The U.S. president has announced new sanctions on Iran's central bank in the latest round of Washington's anti-Iran measures.
You'll be seeing certain things happening, but a very major factor is what we did. These are the highest sanctions ever imposed on a country. We've never done it to this level. And it's too bad what's happening with Iran.
Donald Trump reiterated that he expects sanctions to work on the Islamic Republic. U.S. president added, although a military strike against Iran will always be a possibility, he prefers sanctions over military action. Iran's central bank has reacted to new U.S. measures, saying sanctions are a symptom of Washington's inability to exert leverage on the Islamic Republic. Said measures are ineffective more than any time ever. Meanwhile, Russia has rejected the U.S. move as illegal, saying it will continue its financial cooperation with Tehran. Washington says steps are in response to Iran's alleged involvement.
You'll be seeing certain things happening
in an attack on Saudi oil facilities. Tehran has rejected the allegations. Now joining us for this news review is Lawrence Davidson, lecturer out of Westchester University, out of Westchester, Pennsylvania, and Sayed Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political analyst, joining us from London. I guess we'll start there in the UK with you, Mr. Abbas. Your thoughts, first let me welcome both of you to the program. Start off by saying hello to both of you, and thank you for joining us and contributing to the program one more time. Now, Mr. Abbas, your initial thoughts on the new round of sanctions before any true investigation has been conducted?
Well, these sanctions are in response to supposedly an attack which Iran is meant to have launched on the oil facilities in Saudi Arabia. Firstly, the premise is a joke, because no evidence has been produced thus far, no conclusive evidence of any kind, either by the Saudis or the Mossad intelligence agency or the CIA or any of them. So first of all, the reaction to actually have to put these sanctions is really a joke, because first of all, I mean, you haven't got any evidence, and you're accusing a nation of doing something you have no proof for. And at the same time, the people who did do it, i.e. the Houthis and the Ansarullah, have admitted, and they've had conference upon conference, press conference upon press conference, in which they've confirmed that they are the ones that carried out this attack. Now, of course, the Saudis and the US want to live in denial, and they want to live in denial of the fact that their bombing of Yemen has led to this situation where the Yemenis have started now attacking major installations, and they want to somehow obfuscate all this and blame it on Iran. So let's get that out of the way first, that it's a complete nonsense to target Iran in this instance. But secondly, what's the effect of these economic sanctions on sanctions? They've done it to the IRGC, they've done it to Ayatollah Khamenei, they've done it to individual organizations, and now they've come to the central bank of Iran. Well, what are the effects? The effects will be nothing more than what's already happened, which is that the people on the ground, the ordinary working Iranians, the hardworking Iranians on the ground, they're the ones who are going to get any hikes in prices, and they're the ones who are going to suffer. They're the ones who won't have medical facilities. They're the ones who will not get be able to buy basic goods because of America's ongoing delusion that these kind of sanctions will bring Iran to its knees. It's not done it over the last 3-4 decades. It's not going to do it now. And I think that the Americans need to reconsider this whole nonsense of sanctions and actually get a policy to make some sense in that region.
And speaking of making sense, Lawrence Davidson, Dr. Larry there, I really like to know, I mean, Donald Trump doesn't seem to mind much when we're talking about an alleged, you know, attack that they're trying to put on Iran without, we just heard Mr. Abbas say, without the proof. But we know that is, what we know is not alleged. It's happened. It's been very well documented. Are Saudis killing 40 kids in a school bus in Yemen, bombing funerals, bombing gas stations, UN shelters, hospitals, funerals, you name it, the likes, women and children, you know, putting an embargo where food and medicine cannot get into the country, you know, locking up the ports down there in Hodeidah. So, I mean, and what? No sanctions, no slap on the wrist, nothing to, and now this is just material damage. Of course, it's a ton of crude output that it's impacted. But, you know, why there's always a fuss over when it's not an ally. I mean, you're chopping up a guy in a consulate, And really, really, your initial thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you apply some sort of logical, moral criteria to American actions, you're not going to come up with anything but frustration. There is a substantial lobby overlapping with the Zionist lobby that's pushing for war or anything just short of war, I guess, with Iran. And it will be that political pressure that the Americans, the Trump one down, responds to. There's been some crack in that response pattern when, in fact, the House of Representatives took a close look at what, in fact, the Saudis with American aid are doing on the ground in Yemen. But they haven't been able or willing to insert into the defense budget prohibiting that kind of behavior in terms of military aid to the Saudis. The other thing I want to mention is that when the Houthis attack Saudi Arabia, one of the consequences, you can interpret it this way, one of the consequences of that sort of action is causing the Saudis and their allies, say Dubai, to feel Iran's economic pain, and also obviously in response to the pain of the Yemenites. So there is a certain logic to that, that if the Americans want to cause this kind of damage to the Iranians, then they have to take the risk of retribution in terms of economic damage to the Gulf states and the Saudis. The Saudis through these missile attacks, and the Gulf states through the fact that nobody's going to invest in that region as long as there's a real threat of war.
But Larry, if you very well remember, pre-presidency, Trump used to lay into the Saudis all the time. He couldn't believe that the deep state and the U.S. government and the current president is in bed with the Saudis, that they're the number one state sponsor of terrorism, that that has to change at some point. And he very well blasted Bush and the Iraq invasion, the pretext, the so-called weapons of mass destruction, not listening to his intelligence apparatus and whatnot, false intelligence. And then he's falling and he's going down the same exact path that he had vowed to dismantle.
Right. Well, this says two things. One is that the man has no ethics, and you can't believe anything that he really says. He'll change on a dime. Okay. So we've got a really kind of, not terribly neurotic fellow in the White House who has no gravity, no center of gravity. So you can do almost anything. And the other thing is that when somebody gets elected to a high office, like the office of president, he moves into a bureaucratic system that's already established. And that system is under the influence, the really powerful influence of various lobby groups. That's the way American politics works. And so you come into that sort of system, and it's very, very difficult to break out. And Obama particularly found that to be the case. And he really tried to break the mold with the treaty with Iran. And Trump doesn't have that kind of willpower, nor does he have that kind of interest in a settled diplomatic relations. He's willing to break all kinds of treaties. So, and there's a lobby interest in doing that, and he's gone with it.
And Mr. Abbas, I'm sure you're very well aware at Harvard University, Rex Tillerson was addressing students a couple days ago, and he said that Donald Trump, it just eats up misinformation, especially from Benjamin Netanyahu, like he's eating peach cobbler on a sunny spring day. So, and he falls for everything, and it's a lot of things that he doesn't check out the backstories and the credible, you know, intelligence behind. He just takes it at face value. He's doing it with the Saudis. He's doing it with Tel Aviv. Tell us the danger to that.
Well, to be honest, the danger is that to blame it all on Trump, I mean, on the one level, yes, he's the president, he's there. But actually, the machinery that's behind Donald Trump is not as dumb or stupid as him. They actually have very clear policies. It's the Zionist lobby that's sitting there, which is mainly dictating these. And I think that what you've got to recognize is that actually, at the end of the day, Trump's simply saying what everybody used to think under Obama. There's been no honesty and integrity with American policy towards the Islamic Republic of Iran since the revolution. There's been no integrity in terms of American policies for Israel, on behalf of Israel in that region. What's changed? Nothing. But the truth of the matter is now it's all very much so comical, it's so open that it's embarrassing. I mean, it really is so difficult to sort of not just laugh at a lot of the policy-making decisions and what kind of Pompeo comes out with. I mean, this is just another episode. You have not been able to establish on an international stage through any agency whatsoever that these attacks came from Iran, yet you've applied sanctions to a nation which has got effectively nothing to do with the attacks, or no evidence there to suggest that there's any link. So, I mean, if this kind of arbitrary policy is now the norm, then the Islamic Republic of Iran could do the same, make a ring fence around the Americans, maybe do some deals with South American nations that the Americans constantly plunder, Cuba, Venezuela, etc., and point some missiles at America. How would they like that? How would the Americans like
try
if the Islamic Republic did things? It wouldn't be acceptable. So why is it acceptable for the U.S. to arbitrarily go around doing such things? Well, it's because they think they're not accountable to anybody in the world and they can do what they like. But it makes no economic sense. Let's face facts. They haven't gained anything by putting sanctions on Iran up to now. The Iranians are still doing business using, backdoor techniques, using bartering, using other nations' currencies. That's going to continue. Yet they're not going to be able to stop Islamic Republic or Iran functioning. They're also self-sufficient internally. The only thing that's happening is these kinds of things put up prices of goods they have to import, and that will primarily affect the grassroots ordinary person on the street. So Trump and America are basically creating economic terrorism for the ordinary man in Iran, which will backfire on them because that'll give more support to the Islamic Republic's present establishment and government, which is exactly what the Americans don't want. So it's lose-lose as far as I can see for the Americans at the moment with the way they're going.
Okay, gentlemen, we're way over time. Always a pleasure to have you both on. I want to thank you for joining us, and bye-bye for now, our viewers. That's a wrap for this segment of your Press TV's news review program. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye.